amen. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. And I got mixed up on the words are a little small in that hymnal, aren't they? Amen. And I got turned around a little bit. We'll discuss that a little bit more later on today. And but those are good songs. We just need to, I need to know them. Amen. And Brother Mel, do you know those songs? You don't know those either. Amen. And good. I don't feel bad. Praise the Lord. The song we're going to open up with tonight, I don't believe I have sung it before that I know of, but I listened to it earlier today. What was it called? On the Bright and Golden Morning, and that sinking hymn. So that it's a good one. So I'm looking forward to that. Amen. We'll sing that one here this evening, and if we're opening song, of course we'll be singing a very familiar one for our close today, Stand Up for Jesus. Amen. But what a blessing it is to be here for our morning service. We're thankful for what the Lord has done for us already. Again, as mentioned previously before service, listen, I know the Lord is with us. And when we are gathering His name, He will be here in the midst of us. So we need to trust in Him and everything that He's going to do for us. And we're gonna do that. So today, I haven't given up on our What is Faith series. I took a break from it last Sunday, being the first Sunday there, first Sunday back, and first Sunday of August. But I'm gonna bring maybe the last installment today of the What is Your Faith? What is Your Faith series? And we want to bring this thought to you this morning on Rahab's desperate faith and the scarlet thread of redemption. Rahab's desperate faith and the scarlet thread of redemption. Open your Bibles, if you will, this morning to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And we will be going from Hebrews all the way back to the Word of God here, all the way back here into the Old Testament, obviously. And so we'll be going back all the way to the book of Joshua. So feel free if you want to stick a finger or a bookmark or a 20-pound note there, that's fine. And you can drop that on the way out. That'll be even better. Amen. I'm just joking with you a little bit. And we're gonna be in Joshua chapter 2. We're gonna start in Hebrews chapter 11. So when you get settled there in your scriptures, let's all stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're just going to read one verse, we'll pray, and then have a seat, and then we'll get back into the Old Testament there as we look at Rahab's desperate faith. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the Bible says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Father, we do thank You for all that You've done, for who and what You are. We pray now that You would dwell together with us. Lord God, I pray that You would touch and tender our hearts and our lives. I pray that You speak to us through Your purely preserved, perfect Word of God. I pray that You touch our hearts and bring us closer to Thee. Dear God, I pray as we've examined the characteristics of people's individual types of faith throughout these many weeks in this series, I ask You, Lord, to help us search ourselves, help us examine our own lives, Lord God, and the corrections that we need to make in our own lives, so that we may be pleasing unto Thee, that our faith may be secure, that our faith may be solid. Lord, as we had mentioned this morning, those that pray that prayer saying, we know it's not about the numbers, but the next word is but. Father, we know it's all about You. So, Father, whether there be 1, 10, 20, 1,000 in the midst in any sanctuary this moment, Lord, if You're not there, it's all for naught. So we pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit of God would take control today. Fill us with Thy Spirit, Lord, like we know You want to, and we know that You will. In Jesus Christ's name, to all God's all honor and prayer we ask. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. Again, for the past several weeks outside of last week, we've been studying on faith. We've been studying a series titled, What is Your Faith? And, you know, what we've looked at some of the Bible's most admirable and famous characters in the Word of God. We've seen these guys from Father Abraham all the way down to the mighty Gideon. We did jump around a little bit with Gideon. We're also preaching a series through Judges that we will eventually pick back up sometime or do one or two, three here in the middle. And so we did a combination between the series on Judges and the series of What is Your Faith when we brought in Gideon and about his faith. So we've seen all these men. We even seen Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Then all of a sudden, as we're studying out the Holy Word of God, all of a sudden, as we're looking through the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, when we get into the latter portion of what we call the famous Hall of Faith, and we find this woman who has been listed, who's been recorded in eternal history as the harlot Rahab. We know her as Rahab the harlot. We find in her life, we find in her characteristics. Guys, listen, we can say all we want to about what a person used to be or what a person is, but when God moves in and God saves a soul, He cleanses them of that sins. He wipes away that past. And when He wipes those things away, far be it from us to reach through the blood of Christ and pull it back out. Amen. This young lady here is not only found, as she found in the Hall of Faith, and there's many characters in the Word of God, good men of God that are not listed in the Hall of Faith, but she is. She's also found in the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, beloved, I want us to mention that here this morning to you. I want to throw this thought out to you today, that we see this desperate faith that Rahab has. One, we know, a person in all perspectives could not go any lower by the title that she received. This is a particular individual who realizes, not just because of what she is, but what is about to happen, the events in the book of Joshua that we're going to look at right here in a moment. She could not have gone any lower, and she had to realize that if she did not look up and look to God, that her entire life and the lives of her entire family would be wiped away. Her story is found in this second chapter of Joshua, if you'll turn there with me this morning. Joshua in chapter 2, and we'll pick it up just real quick from verse 1. The Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." So the first thing that we see in the desperate faith of this woman, this desperate faith of Rahab, this desperate faith in her characteristic, this is the first thing that we find. And can I tell you this? Before she saved, before she exercised this faith, before she put her faith and trust in God to save her and her family, we find that she possesses a characteristic that most people that name the name of Christ today are falling short from. We find that she has been, that she's given to hospitality. She's given to hospitality. Pick up with me in verse 2. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men and hither to the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." Now, beloved, we find that Rahab was given to hospitality for these spies of Israel. She was given to hospitality for the Lord's people. She opened up her home, she opened up her heart for these spies to come in, knowing what had befallen those in times past. But this is what happens. Her hospitality, my friends, allows her, number one, to protect these spies of Israel. Number two, her hospitality allows her to provide for these spies of Israel. And number three, we find that her hospitality allows for her to praise these spies of Israel, or to receive praise, if you will. Well, but let me ask you this question. How often do we set our faith to be hospitable to others? How many times have we opened up our life and our heart without reserve to only be hospitable? I remember years ago, a missionary from Vietnam came over. He's a dear friend of ours. And he preached in our church, and he was preaching a message and telling stories about what he does in Vietnam and the work that he does with these young people there. And he's got a ministry that, in my opinion, is second to none. He's built individual orphanages for young orphans in that country throughout the entire nation. As a matter of fact, he's friends with the second in command of the communist government there. He has done such a tremendous and blessed work that even they know what he's doing, but because he benefits those people and is tending to those children, provides them an education, gives them provides them with a teaching for a job afterwards, be it clerical work or sewing or all that, or working on mini bikes or whatever it may be. All these things for these young, giving them a foundation that their country could not have done. But most importantly, gives them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and these young people are getting saved all over the country. But he made this comment one time. Listen to the whole sermon. He says, sometimes it's going to cost you something to help someone else. He says, sometimes it's just going to cost you some money. Matter of fact, I remember the night so distinctively clear that we had a couple that came to the church that night and was struggling to pay. And we had visitations all the time from people. Couldn't pay their light bill, couldn't pay their gas bill, couldn't pay their water bill, couldn't pay their hotel bill, things like that. It was a constant situation that happened. We got to the point we would not provide anyone with money because we didn't know what they were going to do with it, but we would go buy them bags of groceries, and we would pick the groceries out to buy, and if they didn't like that, then they just did not go with us. But I remember when he preached that message that evening, this couple was there, and they came to church looking for a handout, looking for their hotel bill to be paid. It was in a motel bill. And I said, well, you can come tonight. Once you come to church, you come tonight through service, and we'll talk afterwards. And they did, and the brother preached that message, and it spoke to my heart so much. We did go down, we paid a week or 2 weeks worth of their motel. They attended church here and there, then they were transient people, then they were on. You say, well, preacher, what happened out of that? I have no idea. Did it cost us money? Yes, it cost us money. Did it cost us something? Yes, it cost us something. Were we being hospitable? Absolutely, we were being hospitable. We were exercising the characteristic that God has given us to be hospitable for something, and we wasn't looking for anything in return. And that's Rahab we find here right off the bat. You see, no promises were made to Rahab yet. If you look back in that opening verse, all you read there is that these two men, these two spies, they came to her house and lodged there. And then the king found out, and he's going out searching, trying to find them. And nothing was promised her. Her hospitality was without reserve. Her hospitality was without promise. Acts 16, verses 14 and 15 says, and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, Bible says, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Verse 15 says, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. That woman, Lydia, has a great characteristic, as you have of Rahab, the harlot over there in Jericho. She got saved. She was down there. If you know the story, you remember when they came into Philippi. She was down there by the waterside where prayer was known to be made or want to be made, as your Bible says. And they were down there praying, and Paul and them were preaching the Word of God. Paul and Silas were speaking of the Lord. They were speaking of the great things, of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she surrendered her life to Christ. Her and her entire household did. And they were baptized there in the water. And then when Paul and Silas is about to go on their way, she constrained them. That's the same word of when Jesus Christ walked on the road to Emmaus. That couple that was with him, with their hearts burned within them by their own testimony, they constrained Jesus Christ to stay with them. That desire. Lydia had a desire for a church to be planted in her house. She was being hospitable. She wasn't asking for anything in return. She just wanted to open up her doors for God. Now we see that today in some people's lives. They say, oh, we want to have a church in our house. We want to have a Bible study on Monday night in our house, but there's no authority there. There's no pastor there. Everybody sits around with a soda or a cup of coffee or a tea, and they're in their shorts and their t-shirts, and it's more casual, causing casualties in the Christian life. I told my wife the other day, I remember a message many years ago preached by a man. It says casual ties equal casualties. About a casual Christianity. You see, my friend, Lydia's heart was broken for the Lord. Rahab's heart was hospitable. And this foundation of faith that God had placed into her life already gave her the opportunity to be hospitable to these spies. Friends, let me just say this to you in point number one. Sometimes it's going to take faith to have hospitality in your life. Sometimes it's going to take faith to be hospitable to those in your life. Secondly, her desperate faith was a result of her hurting. Look in verse 8 with me. Of her hurting. Verse 8, the Bible says, and before they were laid down, and she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Now, did you read that? Did you read that with me? I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. That was 40 some odd years before this event. When ye came out of Egypt, and when ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon, Og, whom ye utterly destroyed, she says. Imagine this. Just think about this theme that's coming into her house. Look at verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God of heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brother and my sister, and all that they have. And deliver our lives from death. Let me say something to you real quick, beloved. She knew who came into her presence. She knew that these two spies of Israel were from the nation that God had led through the wilderness. She knew the stories that the Red Sea was dried up when Israel came out of Egypt. She knew about the destruction, utterly destroyed these kings of the Amorites and the Ammonites and all these others. Boy, I tell you, when they came knocking on her door, I bet she said, oh boy, our heart melt because we found out you guys came across the River Jordan. Oh my soul. Now, it's going to happen to us. I want you to take great note in the fear that came about, not only the men of the city, but all the people because of Israel, because of the Lord God of Israel. It was the testimony of God's chosen that had been made known throughout all the entire world, producing a feeling of desperation in the hearts of those that came near. The people of Jericho had trusted in their walls. They had trusted in their weapons. As a matter of fact, it was said that two chariots could ride side by side without problems at all on the top of these walls of Jericho. Rahab had faith. She had faith that did not rely on what man could do, but rather what God can do. Now, just to revert back one thought on hospitality, notice she didn't ask for mercy before being hospitable. She was already hospitable. It took great faith. It took desperate faith for her to be hospitable, because for all she knew, they could have come there to start killing with her. But see, she was hurting because fear was going through that city. So often we begin to hurt in our lives, and maybe our feelings get hurt, or something happens in our life where we don't make the time that we should for the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe some people are just playing Christianity. Maybe in our life, rather than practicing Christianity, we're playing it. And then when things begin to happen, a desperate fear comes into our life. It's that time when the real Christian needs to exhibit that desperate faith, casting all his care upon him, for he careth for you. Because Rahab exercised hospitality, and she was experiencing hurting, Rahab's faith, watch this, verse 14, her faith was honored. Look at verse 14, the Bible tells me, and the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. It was a lifeline that was to be let down for those Israelites to know, the Israelites to the saving of their life. The same lifeline that you see throughout all the ages. You see, there was going to be a marker here. Our life for yours. We're going to put our life in your hands, and you're going to put your life in ours. Rahab's desperate faith caused her to exercise that faith upon their spoken word. And her faith was honored. Look down in verse 18 with me. This same line became the saving thread of Rahab's family. This line that let these men down. Look at verse 15 real quick. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. She dwelt upon the wall. That same cord that became a lifeline for the Israeli spies became a lifeline for the family of Rahab. Verse 18 says, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line on scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out by the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." This hospitable woman, who was hurting with fear, had her faith honored. Therefore, she tied a scarlet thread in the window that she had let these spies down by in this cord, this scarlet thread that continues to run into the ages of the life that we live today, a thread recognizable by the Lord's people. Rahab's desperate faith became a saving faith for all of her and her household. If they get out of the house, blood's on his head, not on ours, Israelite said. It was marked by a simple piece of material and the color of blood. Friends, can I tell you that it's the scarlet covering that has allowed this desperate faith to become a saving faith in the lives of millions upon millions of souls. A desperate faith that can only cry out to the one who can cover our sins with the shedding of His precious blood. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." I want you to get this picture with me this morning as we go into our final point. Understand that there was a thread that went down from her window, a woman who was hospitable in the first. She was hurting in the second, but her faith was honored, this desperate faith, and the same rope that she let those spies down, she wrapped a scarlet twine around, and that scarlet cord was recognizable to those that came into Jericho to wipe the entire city out. But those in that house, covered by that cord, their lives were to be spared. And beloved, for us today, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, putting our full faith and trust in Him, there's been a scarlet cord that covers our sins. That scarlet cord runs from Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ, from the beginning to the ending. And you can find this there. Because her faith allowed hospitality to come into her life to overcome her hurting, she was honored. And finally, we find tonight, or today, that Rahab was healed. Look over a couple chapters with me in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 should be around verse 23. The events that we've discussed, you know the story of the walls being broken down. You know the story of that happening and how Joshua and all these men, all these great and wonderful things happened. They walked around the city 7 times. They did this for 7 days. And they sounded the trumpets and the walls fell flat. Verse 23 in chapter 6, the Bible says, "And the young men that were spies
went in
and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. They brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasure of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Beloved, of all the people in the city, out of all the people that are in Jericho, the only ones saved were the ones who had a desperate faith. A faith that allowed her to say, I will trust in nothing more than the highest of all high. A faith that allowed her to say, I will not hold back. A faith that allowed her not to say, I will trust in another. In other words, she said, I will not trust in anything, anyone, or anywhere. I'm going to trust in the God of Israel. She had a faith that was willing to trust in the unseen. Can I tell you that? We are so moved by visuals today. We are so moved by what we see and what we hear. I want to take you back just a moment. We're not going to turn anywhere. Just a side thought. One of the first things that Rahab said when those spies came in there was, this is what we heard. We heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea and you guys walked across of it. Undoubtedly, they probably heard the rest of that story, that God closed the Red Seas and all of Egypt was killed, or the men were killed. We heard what happened to those kings over there, the Amorites. Man, we heard. That's 40 years. I don't know how old Rahab was. Who knows how old she was? I don't know off the top of my head. But let's just say she's 35. Israel had been traveling through the wilderness her entire life. Let's say she's 40. Israel had been traveling through the wilderness her entire life. She grew up hearing about these stories that had happened. And then all of a sudden, this same group of people that she had heard stories about her entire life just walked through the Jordan River dried up, just like they did the Red Sea. And now they come knocking on her door. Fear. We are so moved by what we hear and what we see. Things don't happen the way we want them to happen in our life, and people don't show up, or people don't do this, and people don't... Hey, listen, it's easy to us to get depressed and disheveled. But she became desperate. Her desperation did not cause her to run. Her desperation didn't say, you know what, I'm going to do it on my own. Her desperation didn't cause her to deceive and go to the king and say, hey, listen, despise her. That's not what her desperation did. Her desperation, her desperate faith, caused her to believe and trust in God. Trust in the scarlet covering. Beloved, Rahab was as good as dead. Just like the end of the rest in the city outside of that house. But Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. A contributing factor that I'm going to say to Rahab's desperate faith was just that. She was good as dead. It's over with. So I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Have you reckoned yourself dead? Have you looked at all that you can hold to, all that you can place your trust in, all of your abilities, all of your capabilities, all the things that you can do, and said, it is all dead? See, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. This he's saying we know of himself. But what we would have, what will we have in life today if it wasn't for the death of one Jesus Christ? Eternal life came by one dying and going in the grave and coming back up again. Our faith today needs to have, let me back up, our faith today must have the boundaries of a dead man, never looking back, never looking to hold on what this world has to offer or what this world can do or what this world will do. But a desperate faith, as Rahab had, will look only to what God can do. And by faith, lay that scarlet cord outside the window and say, Lord, I'm yours. Inside this house, we're covered. Inside this temple right here, I'm covered by the blood of Christ. Therefore, I'm yours. Paul said, likewise, reckon yourself also as to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I wonder what we can do as Bible believers today. I wonder what we could do as Christians today if we reckon ourselves dead. If we truly set our affections on things that are above and not things that are below. I see so much today amongst the youth and how the youth time is monopolized in our village. Through every type of sport, every type of activity, every type of this and of that. And here's the deal. I'm not against sports. I'm not against athletics. I'm not against any of those things. You guys know that. I personally believe that sports and physical activities are a good thing. I think we should do them to the best of our abilities. I think they build a team mentality. I think they fighting on the trenches and on the gridiron and on the pitch, I believe develops a team approach, a team mentality where someone can go into the world and they can work amongst the team and fire that team up and get them going. I believe in that. But I don't believe it at the cost of the house of God. We have a youth here in this community that I've learned more and more and more. And listen, God has blessed our youth club in a great way and I'm thankful for it. Amen? I am very thankful for it. We could do so much more if there wasn't so much occupying our youth's time on Sundays or Fridays or Wednesdays. All of these athletics, all of these things, they're not going to amount to anything in eternal value. I'm not saying throw them to the wayside. I'm not saying don't do them. It's not an all or nothing thing. It's just an equal balance is what it is. We must prioritize. And guys, until we develop a priority to the house of God, the pillar and the ground of the truth that Jesus Christ says that it is, then it's not going to change. Rahab reckoned herself dead. She said, I'm dead. The only hope she had was a faith of desperation in what these spies were going to do. In the darkest days of the First World War, Field Marshal Haig of Great Britain, he issued a stirring order. The Allies were suffering terrific losses. I'm sure you may have studied this in history. The slain and the wounded were, y'all don't look up there, it's not there. The slain and the wounded were almost countless. This is the order that came down from Haig. And he encouraged the entire British Army. His original message, as a matter of fact, the original message is a copy of it is preserved. And this is what it read. He said, every position will be held to the last man. He said, there must be no retirement. With our backs to the wall, that's the famous quote, with our backs to the wall and believing in the justice of our cause, each one of us must fight to the end. The safety of our homes and the freedom of mankind alike depend upon the conduct of each one of us at this critical moment. So, beloved, can I give you the same thought this morning in relation to Rahab's desperate faith? The safety of our homes and the freedom of mankind alike depend upon the conduct of each one of us at this critical moment, at this moment in time. And guys, our backs are against the wall. Reckon ourselves dead with a desperate faith And God Himself will do what needs to be done and use us as He will to see the glory of His holy name pour through these streets. With our backs against the wall and believing in the justice of our cause. Do you believe in the cause of Christ today? Do you believe in freedom today from death, sin, and hell? Do you believe this morning that we have a cause of Christ found in this Holy Scripture? With our backs against the wall, let us believe in that justice. And let us fight unto the end. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together. We pray now that You please would bless us in our closing hymn. But I ask You, Lord, to allow these thoughts this morning to reverberate in our hearts and our souls. That we would continue to draw near unto Thee. That, Lord, these words that we've heard would not soon be forgotten. That the Holy God of our life, our Savior, our King, would be in our life so much the so that we've reckoned ourselves dead but alive unto Christ, to whom glory and honor and praise must be given. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. I do hope and pray that God was good to you today. I hope that He was a blessing.